This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast here on Seminole Sports Radio of VSporto Channel. I'm Jason Staples. Got a big show today. We're talking Rant of the Week. It is the Rant of the Week show where I'm going to basically rant on a couple things that have been driving me crazy the last couple weeks. Well, first thing is actually not so much driving me crazy, but it's kind of an I told you so. And the second one is definitely driving me crazy. So segment one, we're going to talk about social media in college sports and college teams. In segment two, we're going to talk about Jimbo Fisher's offense. So let's go ahead and get started. Segment one here, we're talking about social media. We talked about this earlier. I had a rant of the week earlier in the year talking about how Michelle Beadle and some others were criticizing Clemson and Florida State in particular for having social media policies instituted by the team. In both cases, Florida State and Clemson, it's a player-led ban where they do not use social media like Twitter during the season. And Beadle and these others criticized that decision and said, you need to let these players go ahead and make their mistakes. You can't just insulate them. You can't put them in a bubble during the season and keep them from such a big part of society. Well, how much you want to bet that Charlie Strong wishes Texas had had that policy right about now? In case you weren't aware, at halftime, during Texas' embarrassing loss to fellow in-state program TCU, where they just got blown out, they were down 37-0 at the half. True freshman Chris Boyd, who Florida State fans should recognize that name, as he was one of the top corners on Florida State's board last year, went to Texas. Chris Boyd at half he retweeted a Texas A&M's fan tweet. Now, again, this is at the half in the locker room. He gets on his phone and retweets a tweet to him from a Texas A&M fan that said, "Whenever y'all are ready to transfer, we're ready. Gig'em. Hashtag gig'em." And Chris Boyd retweeted that from the half, from halftime, from the locker room of Texas game against TCU. Oh, man. I mean, seriously, this is why places like Clemson and Florida State have decided, you know, maybe it's best that our 18-year-olds, that we have a policy in place, implemented and largely enforced by our seniors and by our team leadership, that says, you know, when the 18-year-old freshman is frustrated, he can't just go to Twitter and tweet out his frustration for the whole world to see. Because, you know, that might actually do some damage to our program and to our team. This wound up being just, first of all, it became a big deal. And eventually, you know, Texas had to have a team meeting about this where Chris Boyd apologized to his teammates and so on for causing problems. He released a public statement that said, I extend my sincerest apology to all of the Longhorn fans and family and everyone at Texas or everyone at UT. In no way did I intend to be disrespectful or disloyal, that I'm 100% committed to this team and program. And then, you know, of course, he said he personally apologized to his coaches and teammates and all of this. And wow. Yeah. Well, you know, that is why they have these policies at Clemson and Florida State. Because I guarantee you that if they could turn that back. Now, Charlie Strong, in fairness, Charlie Strong did say after the game that, players are not that they are not supposed to be on their phones at halftime. But either way, I mean, this is something that, there's already a policy in place at places like FSU and Clemson to handle this sort of thing, to make sure that this doesn't happen. But this story gets better. At Texas, basically, after all this stuff happens over the weekend, on Monday, one of the veteran players, one of the team leaders, ends up giving an interview where he criticized the freshman class and some of the young players on the team for not practicing the way that they should, for not bringing it every day in practice the way that they should. He basically said, they're coming to play on Saturdays, but they're not doing it day in, day out in practice like they should. Well, another Texas freshman then took to Twitter to gripe and complain and vent about those complaints and lashed out at the senior for those comments, basically saying, yeah, that's, you know, that's not the case, et cetera. And, you know, it's basically throwing him under the bus. Again, this stuff happens on teams in the locker room. It's supposed to happen there in team meetings. You have disagreements, you have fights, you have all of that stuff. But it's not the sort of thing that you want out in the public, because then it takes on a whole different level of importance and a whole different level of basically how these players are going to take it. It's one thing if you're called out in the locker room. It's another thing if you're called out in front of everybody. And this is why FSU, first of all, has been careful about giving who they have giving interviews. And secondly, it's why some programs have social media policies in place. Because, again, you cannot have a player taking to Twitter to rip on one of his teammates or to defend his freshman class against his teammates and so on. You can't have that dirty laundry aired in front of everybody to continue to bring to cause cracks in the foundation of the program. You can't let that happen. You just can't. And this is why earlier in the summer, or at the beginning of this year, I was trying to explain, this is, you know, they were saying, why is it that, you know, you want to try to put these players in a bubble for the season? Well, this is why. That's why. It only takes one loss or one blowout or a couple embarrassments, and then all of a sudden 18, 19-year-olds don't necessarily have a filter, and they run, you know, there's no delay between their thought and what they post on Twitter, which then goes to the whole world, and now you have a different thing going on. This is why those policies are in place at some of these places. Now listen, would I necessarily want that policy to be in place if I were on one of those teams? Maybe not, but I might. Because again, I'm if I'm on one of those teams, I'm trying to win. And I don't want my dirty laundry. And that's one of the things. I mean, if you're a part of one of these teams, you've got to understand that what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. Always. And that's not happening at Texas, and that's a bad sign. Either way, that's one rant for the year. The next one, for the week, the next one is going to be significantly bigger. So let's go ahead and move into segment two. And again, this is the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. The next one has to do with a comment. I mean, we are right back. We're right back to where we were a couple of years ago. It's amazing how some arguments, how some uneducated, ignorant assertions have managed to work their way back after they were just completely destroyed the last couple of years. So to take you back, when we go back to 2012, there were a lot of people who were advocating that Jimbo Fisher should give up the offensive coordinator role at Florida State because his offense was just too complicated and you were never going to see anybody be able to run it to with the kind of success to produce an elite offense, which was not true anyway because they'd already had a top 10 offense in 2009 and a top 15, top 16 offense in 2010. So that was already neglecting that, but oh, you're never going to have a, you know, an offense that'll compete with the top level teams with Jimbo Fisher calling plays because his offense is just too complicated. And, you know, you can't, you're never going to see it run better than what you're seeing from EJ Manuel. And the offense is just never going to be there. Now that offense averaged 7 yards per play. It was one of the best in the country, but never mind. It's just too complicated. If we just had somebody here who would simplify these things for the players and run a college offense, then, oh, then it'd be so much better. Then we'd start seeing the talent actually get to be released instead of held back by, you know, mean old Jimbo's having fallen in love with his playbook and his plays and basically running, stubbornly running what he wants to run, despite the fact that it doesn't fit his personnel the best. And his guys aren't smart enough to learn it because he's not dealing with a bunch of Stanford guys. He's dealing with guys at Florida State who just aren't capable of handling the complexity of a Jimbo Fisher offense. But he's too arrogant and he's too wrapped up in his love affair with his own playbook to recognize it. And he won't run the simple stuff that other people run. And so this offense is just never going to be where it should. And that continued into the preseason in 2013 when Jameis Winston was about to take over as a redshirt freshman. And people were saying, well, you know, with Jameis Winston as a redshirt freshman coming in this year, you just can't expect that much because, again, the Jimbo Fisher offense is so complicated. And, you know, Jimbo's not going to dumb things down for a freshman. So, you know, you're just going to have to expect a lot of growing pains because, I mean, you're just never going to see the kind of success. I remember on the Noel Digest boards, there's a particular guy who's a fan of both Florida State and Texas A&M, and he was using Texas A&M as a counterexample, and he was like, you'll never see a Johnny Manziel-type performance from, you know, a Florida State quarterback because Jimbo's offense is just so complicated and so complex that it's just not, you're not going to see a young guy get it like that. Well, the rest in 2013 was history because Jameis Winston came in and did what everybody said was not going to happen. He dominated. He set records. He won a Heisman Trophy. He did precisely what Johnny Manziel had done the year before and win a Heisman Trophy as a redshirt freshman. And that was all in spite of mean old nasty Jimbo's complicated and complex offense. And, you know, in spite of the fact that Jimbo should have given up the offensive coordinating responsibility to James Coley before the season. Instead, Coley got upset and moved to Miami because, you know, nasty Jimbo was so in love with his complicated playbook and was going to insist on foisting it upon a helpless freshman that, you know, It was going to end up being the thing that would cost Florida State. Florida State would never win a title, particularly with young players, because of that. Well, 2013 happened, and everybody kind of forgot about that. Everybody kind of forgot about those things because, well, Jameis Winston put it all to bed. Flat out disproved it. In the last 2 years, you saw the Florida State offense dominate. And now, 4 games in to the 2015 season, the year after Jameis Winston, it's unbelievable how fast we've seen people run back to the same tired, disproven arguments. I mean, we are right back where we were. We're seeing people make the same criticisms that we saw when EJ Manuel was quarterback, and now the only change is, well, you'll never see what, you know, Jimbo Fisher's offense be effective like it was with Jameis again because Jameis was such a savant, and that's true. Jameis was a savant, is a savant. You'll never, you know, Jimbo's system will only work if he has a savant at quarterback like Jameis Winston. That is total BS. It is complete and total BS. First of all, Jimbo Fisher's system, yes, there's some complexity to it and some things that he asked the quarterback to do. But it is not, oh, the most complicated offensive system in the world. Yes, 18-year-olds can get Jimbo Fisher's system. It's not ridiculously complex. It is very flexible, however. And that does away with the other part of that criticism. The thing is that what gets me is people criticize Fisher on exactly the wrong things when it comes to offense. They criticize him for being too stubborn and sticking to his system and running his plays. When in fact, if you're going to criticize Jimbo Fisher, criticize him for being too flexible, for not being stubborn enough to demand that certain things are run, regardless of personnel. For accommodating his personnel too much. That's the place where you could potentially criticize. But now what we're seeing is we're seeing some in the media and a lot of fans who are saying, you know, Jimbo just is so stubborn. He won't simplify the offense, which is not true because the offense is pretty significantly simplified this year. They're not running the same offense they did with Jameis Winston. He's not willing to simplify, and that's why you don't see young players contributing at Florida State the way that you see at other places, particularly at quarterback and wide receiver. That is garbage. We had a poster at Noel Digest who was saying, you know, that he couldn't believe, you know, Jimbo's system is so complicated that that guys like J.J. Cosentino and Sean McGuire aren't, you know, they can't learn the system well enough to beat out a graduate transfer after 3 weeks, who's only been in the program for 3 weeks. What? That's the reverse. That takes the evidence for one thing and makes it completely the opposite. The fact is that J.J. Cosentino and Sean McGuire aren't playing not because they don't know the system as well as Everett Golson, but because they're not as good as he is. Listen, Sean McGuire knows the system inside and out right now. But that doesn't mean he's going to be able to execute it over the long haul better than Everett Golson by the time you get to the games that really matter. He's not playing because he doesn't understand things. He does understand things, but understanding it doesn't mean that you're going to execute it the best. Golson is playing because the coaching staff felt they could simplify things enough for him and get enough progress during the season to have a higher ceiling for this team with him at quarterback than with McGuire, who does know the system but has a lower ceiling. So they altered what they're doing to fit what Golson can do and are working to get the development they need to win the important games as the season goes on. It's completely backwards. The truth is that Jimbo Fisher's system is simple enough that a graduate transfer and not the most and not a guy who is a savant like Jimbo or like Jameis Winston, a graduate transfer was able to come in and beat out Sean McGuire and J.J. Cosentino despite only 3 weeks in the system. If the system had been so overly complicated, we'd see McGuire struggling out there and we would be told that it's because Golson just couldn't grasp what they asked him to do in the system, so they had to go with the guy who knew it. But instead, the system is simple enough that Golson was able to grasp enough of it to be the better option in just 3 weeks. I don't know how you could look at that fact and come to anything other than the conclusion that the offense is simple enough that a guy can come in and in 3 weeks run it well enough to beat out a guy who's been in it for a while. I mean, that's the fact. And if you want to talk about this, again, let's go and look at other graduate transfer quarterbacks to see, you know, which offenses are really complicated and complex. Man, Jacob Coker sure lit the world on fire at Alabama last year, didn't he? Oh, wait. No, he had to take a year to learn that system and get comfortable. Well, at least at Oregon this year, right? You know, that Vernon Adams came from an offense very similar to Oregon's, and then he was able to transfer into Oregon's and just hit the ground running, and it was like no drop-off from Marcus Mariota, right? They're having no problems. Come on. That's ridiculous. The fact is, it's hard in any college offense to step right in and play. Because it's not as simple as people think. And anywhere. The air raid. You've got constant side adjustments and all that. And that brings me to the second point. You know, another person came in, and there was a nice dust up on Twitter about this recently, where people were talking about how Florida State receivers just don't come in and make impacts like young receivers elsewhere. One of the quotes, "We see plenty of young players step in and make impacts at wide receiver, but not at Florida State." This is demonstrably false. Give me other programs that are consistently getting freshman wide receivers to contribute more than what we've seen at FSU over the last few years. Good luck. Now, you'll find that there's an exception here and there. Yes. Sammy Watkins at Clemson, Amari Cooper at Alabama, KD Cannon at Baylor. But those guys are rare, even at those programs. And even in those cases, Bama had a big gap, had a big lack of wide receivers when Amari Cooper went there. They needed somebody to step right in, and Cooper just happens to have been a guy who was good enough to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. There's a reason for him being able to contribute right away. Same with Sammy. Those guys are rare anywhere. And it's false that Florida State has not had comparable success with young wide receivers. Rashad Green stepped in and contributed from day one as a true freshman. No problem picking up the offense. He was like a veteran from day one. But again, he's an exception, just like Amari Cooper or Sammy Watkins or these guys at other places. Travis Rudolph last year had one of the best seasons of any of the top-rated receivers going to these top programs last year. Statistically, he matched up with almost all of them. KD Cannon at Baylor was ahead of him. But there were some guys that were, you know, there were a few exceptions ahead of Rudolph, who was an exception. But Ermin Lane was also a key contributor last year as a true freshman. He caught, you know, one of the touchdowns that put FSU in position to win against Louisville last year. Remember? Two true freshmen playing significant minutes last year on a team that went to the playoff. Oh, but the offense is too complicated for that, right? Now, the fact is that you see a handful of key true freshmen and young players making plays at other schools. And what happens is Florida State fans will see that and they'll go, "Oh, wow, you know, Calvin Ridley's doing that at Alabama. Why is George Campbell not doing it at Florida State?" But the fact is that most of the five-star recruits at these other schools aren't stepping right in and playing and dominating either. The thing is, this is selection bias. You're a fan of one team, and so you know more of the details about one team. But you notice the few exceptions at other places, and you're not noticing the whole picture in those places. You pay closer attention to Florida State, so you notice what's going on at Florida State, but you only see the exceptions elsewhere. The other thing, I think one of the other things that actually steps in here is you hear Fisher a lot talking in interviews about how the wide receivers are one of the reasons that quarterbacks are struggling. And you don't necessarily see that you're not paying that much attention to press conferences of other people. If you listen to a Dana Holgorsen press conference or a Lane Kiffin press conference or any of these guys, and you hear what they're saying in their interviews, they're saying the same stuff. But Florida State fans don't quite understand how this works. And they're going, "Why is it that our wide receivers, the only wide receivers in the country who can't run good routes? We're just running too complicated a system." Well, let me tell you something. At least one, and I think maybe two of the interceptions against Ole Miss from Alabama were the result of bad routes by the wide receivers. One in particular was obvious to somebody. I watched it and I went, "Wow, that's on the wide receiver. Quarterback threw that in the right spot. Receiver's in the wrong depth. He misread the coverage, was in the wrong depth in terms of where he needed to be. Quarterback threw to the proper spot. Wide receiver wasn't there. Interception." So this is not a Florida State problem. Bama's having to play young wide receivers, and they're having that same problem. Now, whether it gets addressed, whether it gets brought up in a press conference or not, is to some degree up to the coach and up to the press who asks the questions. But this is not a unique thing to Florida State. Wide receivers in the college game have to learn how to run routes. And it's not as simple as, you know, run three steps and take a 45-degree angle inside. You've got to do more than that in every offense. In every offense. You know, there were people who were suggesting, "Oh, you know, they should, I just don't understand. I mean, they're keeping Campbell off the field because until he learns the whole playbook." And I, you know, that's just not the case at other places. They get their guys on the field first of all, Campbell doesn't need to know the whole playbook in order to play. They run maybe a 20th of the playbook at any point. They pared Jimbo Fisher and that offensive staff pared down the offense to the very small fraction of the playbook that the team is actually able to execute for games. That's one of the real strengths of Jimbo's offense, is that it is more flexible and able to accommodate different personnel than most because he has more packages available in that system. And they only run a small fraction of them. The fact that they run more formations is what most fans notice, but it's easy to teach formation. That's just teaching a guy a new place to stand. They don't run that many plays. And as for giving simple, you know, oh, you can just give him one or two routes to run so that, you know, you can run the fly and the bubble screen just to get him on the field. Well, first of all, that doesn't really do you any good if teams know that he's going to run one or the other every time he's on the field. And second of all, even if you're talking about a simple fly route, just a vertical route, in a modern offense, air raid system, Oregon, Auburn, anywhere, it doesn't matter. Every route, including just a vertical route, requires the wide receiver to read the defense to know what angle needs to be taken, where you need to release, where the ball is going to be thrown so that you have to know whether it's going to be back shoulder, front shoulder, whether you need to turn that vertical route into a comeback, all sorts of different things, whether it's going to be in the hole, whether it's going to be over the top, whether it converts to a post. There's all sorts of things that happen in any offense, even in the simple ones. Because that's the college game. Because defenses are complex. Listen, when I was playing wide receiver in Jeff Bowden's offense, and lots of people have mocked Jeff Bowden's offense as a high school offense, it took me a while. And I'm not stupid. It took me a while to learn how to read coverages the way that you have to on the fly. It takes a while to learn that by the second step, you need to be looking at the safeties and understand if it's middle of field open, middle of field closed, and against middle of the field open, you're going to take this angle at this depth and you're going to run this route. Against middle of the field closed, you're going to run this angle at this depth and then this route. And then if the guy blitzes over you, then you need to immediately convert into a different route. That takes a while to learn. I didn't have to do that in high school. In high school, I was told, you know, 0-3. Okay, so I've got, you know, a 3 route. In college, that's just not how it works in any offense. I still remember, and this actually is why one of the reasons you see freshmen drop balls too. I mean, you have to know what coverage you're running against, what depth you need to hit against that coverage, what adjustment you might need to make if the defender over you or inside of you blitzes. You need to know that stuff well enough to be able to do it without thinking. Because the thing is, catching a football with the DB draped on you, or to beat a DB and then be able to turn and get your head around and do all the things that you need to do to catch the ball on time, that takes a lot of focus. If you're thinking about the coverage, if you're doing that stuff, that takes a while. I still have sort of cold sweats at times. It's funny how this stuff sticks with you. About a scrimmage situation where I had a hot route because the corner over top of me blitzed. And my mind immediately went, I need to stop that. And this becomes a 5-yard stop, right? But there was that slight bit of question of whether or not I was actually making the right adjustment. And I made the right adjustment, but it wasn't really crisp. And I'm sorry, you know, Fabian Walker, I'm sorry I dropped the ball. I still am sorry to this day that I dropped that ball on you, because we could have had a big play. You made the right read. Fabian made the right read, put it out there. It wasn't a great throw. It was a little bit low, but I was in a situation where if I'd run a crisper route and been confident and been able to just focus on catching the ball, it's a big play. Instead, it's a drop, and, you know, I kind of look stupid and didn't help Fabian at all. And I'm not stupid. I learn quickly. More quickly than most. That's why it takes 5-star freshmen a while to play pretty much anywhere, minus the few very rare exceptions. Guys like Rashad Greene and Sammy Watkins and Amari Cooper, they're rare. Those guys learn so fast to be able to make those adjustments and catch the football and do all of that automatically. This is why Dabo Swinney said a few years ago that what made Sammy so special was that he was able to come in and master all of the stuff that a wide receiver needed to know in the Clemson offense right away. And Swinney, who came up as a wide receiver coach, was talking about how that's incredibly rare even for a 5-star wide receiver. And they had multiple 5-stars in that class. It's why Sammy was able to play right away, and some of those other five stars, like Martavius Bryant, was Martavius Bryant is a really, really good NFL receiver right now. But he wasn't able to play. He barely contributed as a freshman. You know why? Because Clemson, who has that one of those simple offenses that supposedly is able to integrate freshmen right away, Clemson was too difficult for him to learn to be able to be consistent enough to be in the right place right away. That's why that offense took a step back when they lost Newt Hopkins, because they had to replace him with a young guy, and it just was not the same. Martavius Bryant, by the way, was that young guy. And it's just like Green was an exception at FSU, Amari was an exception at Bama. That's the way it works. That's not unusual. But the problem is everybody gets excited, every recruiting class, about the latest and greatest five-star freshmen that are on campus, and they expect those guys to come in and contribute right away. The fact is it doesn't happen more often than not, and that's not just at Florida State, it's everywhere. It's because those guys aren't ready to play mentally. And this is why it's ridiculous to talk about, oh, such and such should just be able to go straight to the NFL. The NFL is a whole different level of complexity. And it's not just physical. We're talking mental stuff. And you can't just say, oh, we'll simplify it for them. If you're saying that, that means you don't understand how football is played at the advanced level. You can't go back to grade school. You can't just say, oh, well, make this management job as easy as third grade. You can't do it. You're not going to be successful. And if you're going to say, you know, another person, you know, going back to the quarterback thing. Actually, before we go back to the quarterback thing, we'll do one more thing on the receivers. You know, let's look at some of the situations for Florida State this year. What young receivers aren't playing? George Campbell, of course. But George Campbell missed half of camp with an injury. You can't miss all those reps and learn anything well enough to be consistent right now. But listen, George Campbell will play plenty later in the year. He might play a lot against Miami, but it's going to be when he's ready and when he shows he's ready in practice. Thing is, you got people who are wanting coaches who see these players every day in practice to stick them out there and let them make the same mistakes in games that they do in practice. But the thing is, when a guy makes that mistake in a game and he's at the wrong depth in a route and you get an interception, it could cost you a game. You're willing to take a drop or two from a guy like Bobo Wilson, who's in the right spot right now, until those guys actually are in the right spot, and then you can go ahead and put them on the field. But you can't do that with guys who've missed so much of camp that they're behind and still catching up. You can't do it with Auden Tate and Nyquan Murray. They both missed close to a month with hand injuries. You know, Pig Harrison has had a knee problem the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's been in a knee brace for a month. Monday's practice, the first time his knee brace has come off. So you wonder why these guys are not playing. It's because they're not ready. And it's not because Florida State's offense is too complicated. It's because you've got injuries, you've got missed time, you've got all sorts of different things like that that you have to account for. But of course, those guys would still be on the field and killing it at Baylor or Alabama despite all that missed time and all those missed reps, right? Come on. One other thing, another quote that we saw here, or that was thrown at me, Twitter or message board or whatever. We get the best recruits in the country at quarterback. This is about Francois, and they don't step right in right away and make an impact. That's just laughable. Winston made as big of an impact as any young quarterback in history. And this is a guy that, you know, right before he took over, freshman quarterback couldn't have that kind of success in Jimbo Fisher's overly complex offense. All the people who were saying that in 2013 were wrong, and demonstrably wrong, because it happened in 2013. Those people who were saying that in 2012, 2013, they were wrong. Fisher's offense is too complex for a freshman to come in and do.
Funny thing is now they're just all we've seen is a recycling of that same silly, misinformed, and tired argument. What you're seeing now is, well, you know, Jameis doesn't really count because he took a redshirt year. Other places, you know, look at UCLA. They have Josh Rosen on the field right away. Why didn't Jimbo play Jameis as a true freshman? If Jameis had just played as a true freshman, then things would have been better. Yeah, Josh Rosen, one of the best quarterback prospects of the last couple of years. I think he may be a top five pick. And now he's had two stinkers out of five games. One nearly cost UCLA the game against BYU, and they lost this week against Arizona State in another bad game. So Jimbo's preference here, and I tend to agree with him if I were in the same spot as a coach, his preference is not to take a few guaranteed losses by starting the true freshman quarterback as he learns on the job. Some people out there seem to think that that would be the best way to go. Take the Josh Rosen approach and go, well, you know, we don't have any other better options, so let's just play the true freshman. We'll take our couple losses, three losses on the year, four losses on the year, and, you know, then, you know, he'll be better in 2 years. But Jimbo tends to think that it's better to try to win those games with a more experienced player and wait on the young guys to play and contribute when they're ready. And the other thing is, he also understands that when you get in there and you're in game situations and you fail because you got thrown to the wolves early on, especially when you have young offensive line and all these other things around you, that can ruin a kid. You can have a five-star freshman, and then he starts getting sacked a bunch, starts to have timing problems, starts to have confidence issues and all that. And by playing him earlier, you ruin him. You don't get him better. You ruin him. Instead of getting him more situated in your system, let him fail in the controlled environment of practice and then work his way up to confidence to where he's ready as a redshirt freshman or whatever. People out there would prefer just throw him to the wolves. Look at the quarterbacks who've been developed best most recently. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Palmer, Philip Rivers. All those guys, NFL quarterbacks, some of the top quarterbacks over the last decade. And you know what they all have in common? They didn't play right away as rookies in the NFL. They didn't play and get thrown to the wolves and get PTSD from having to deal with a bad offensive line, bad receivers, their own mistakes and all that. They were able to learn and practice, learn their systems, and then get to where they got that way. That's what Jimbo's trying to do with his young guys. See, this is all part of that long-term thing. And playing Francois right now, because, oh, you know, Golson's not where he should be. Fact is, Golson has made some huge strides the last couple weeks. Playing Francois right now doesn't mean he's going to be better next year. It may mean he's going to be worse because he's dealing with stuff. Everything's swimming so fast that he never gets the time to actually let it slow down on schedule. But see, Fisher played quarterback. He knows how that works. These people who are making these criticisms, they probably didn't play college football. That's my guess. Most of them, at least. And certainly not at these positions. So, you know, the bottom line is that it's absolutely not the case that Jimbo Fisher runs this impossibly complex system that makes it far more difficult for young talent to get on the field. Fisher's system is no more complex than Bobby Petrino's or Steve Spurrier's or, you know, Lane Kiffin's is more complex. Lots of others. Gus Malzahn, etc. But FSU, first of all, has more talent on the roster than just about anybody else at this point. So young players, young five-star players have more talented guys to leapfrog, first of all. And secondly, the guys who can come in and contribute right away are the very rare exceptions everywhere, not just at FSU. And FSU gets those guys on the field and gets them contributing as fast as anyone. That's the truth. And I've just been so frustrated by, you know, these implications. Oh, Jimbo doesn't run the pop pass because he's too arrogant. Bullcrap. He doesn't run the pop pass right now because he's trying to get certain other things, basic things, that the offense can run in place without adding more complexity by adding an entirely new package for pop passes and all this other stuff. You're going to add that stuff. You're going to take extra reps away from some of the other things that the team does well to add that stuff in. It's just not the way things work. And I find it hopelessly ironic that the people who are demanding things be simplified are also demanding extra stuff to be added. Go figure. Well, that's your rant for the week. And that's going to do it for us today. Now, just before we get out of here, just a reminder that you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. And, of course, Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio. And, again, if you haven't downloaded the iOS or Google Play app for Seminole Sports Radio, you really ought to do that. That's the best way to keep in touch with this program and more. And, of course, make sure to catch our next podcast, which is going to preview the Miami game, take a look at what to expect. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of eSporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.